right, take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 6, Revelation the 6th chapter. We are on lesson number 17, and we will be here for a little while. Lesson 17, if you need that, raise your hand. It is the Apocalyptic Four Horsemen is the title of lesson 17. And we also have a copy of Daniel's 70 weeks, a little chart that I did in the Daniel class. If you need either of those, raise your hand. We have plenty of those to go around. Several folks in the front, and so we'll want you to get that. And if you don't have this, you'll want to have this if you do take notes, because you can write on the back of this, because you will run out of space if you try to write on lesson 17, because there's just not enough room. And that is my fault. I will take full credit, I mean blame, however you want to put it. But anyway, I would encourage you, if you do take notes, this is a nice little chart. I've written, I don't know if I wrote extra things. I tried to write my little scratches on here and then made copies of those so you had that. Again, this is you know, one of probably four different charts, could be five or six different charts that good men have written, drawn out. This is what I believe the Bible's talking about when it talks about the 70-week prophecy. To say that I would die for it, I'm not sure I would necessarily die for it. But I think this is probably what it's talking about. And you'll see as we talk about it, as we went through Daniel. Again, some speculation there, but certainly some things, no matter which chart or which way that you go, the Bible is very clear about the events that take place. Again, dates and stuff, we do struggle somewhat with that, which is fine. But the events that actually take place, there certainly is no struggle. There is no doubt about it. No doubt about what happens here in Revelation chapter 6 and these apocalyptic four horsemen. And this is, again, getting into what people typically want to take the book of Revelation, a study of the Revelation, why they want to study it, to get into some of the prophecies and some of the thinking of what is to take place here in what I believe is the near future, praise the Lord. But anyway, don't know that either, but just kind of think that. So we are on section 4 in dealing with Revelation chapter 6 through 11. Again, section 4, the awful judgments of the book, and this will take every bit as long as the last sections that we have done, but that's okay. We have time, amen? And we're not necessarily in a hurry. I think I mentioned to you, we were at a church on a Wednesday night and in Indianapolis visiting. Good man, good pastor, and good preacher, but he was going through the book of Revelation, and in one night, one evening service, he went through Revelation chapter 20. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 21. In one night. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh, it's just, I don't know how you would do that. And he did. It was good. It was you know, just a different way to study it. But we're obviously, by the time we get to Revelation 21, we may already be in heaven. Amen. And we're going to have Jesus just go ahead and teach it to us. And we'll all sit there and just say, wow, this is so good. And it will be. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Wait a minute, let's do our verse first. Revelation 6:2 is our memory verse from this passage. And again, this is in reference to the Antichrist. So, a good verse for us to think about. And I think, you know, as you think about the Antichrist, and in my study of Daniel as well as this study, if the tribulation, or should I say, if the rapture is soon, that means the Antichrist is somewhere now very busy. It means that the satanic forces that will promote him, they are very, very busy. Again, if the rapture is soon, if the rapture is within the next 20 years, then there would be things going on in preparation. And to me, that's exciting. It is so exciting to think about events that we speculate a lot of this, but we know that if there is an Antichrist that will come on the scene, and he will come on the scene quickly, he will take power, and we'll get into that here in the next couple of months as far as just how all of that happens. But then there would be things going on even today that would be ushering all of that in. And so let's say the rapture takes place tomorrow. And I think this way. I sit and I think, you know, who would be the Antichrist? And I know everybody has their, you know, remember back when we thought it was Kissinger. And, you know, there's always all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you just can only imagine. But I'm going to tell you, we've watched politicians now rise from obscurity to great positions, and now, you know, there had to be a day where people say, how would anybody know who these, you know, how could they do that? Now we see, and this is just what we see today. Again, it could be 100 years from now. I don't think it will be, but again, okay, I'm rambling. Let's look at Revelation 6 and verse 2. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 6:2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. And again, Revelation 6:2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. And Father, we are reminded of what a mess this world is going to be by the time the Antichrist takes his position and takes on the role that he has in Bible prophecy. And we're certainly aware that there's a lot of mess in our world today. And I pray that you will help us to give out the truth and to realize that certainly the coming of Christ, it has to be soon, or it could be soon. And I pray that we would be more and more determined to get the gospel in the highways and the hedges and all around our town and all around our county, that people might hear the gospel and be saved, and that they'd not be left behind. Father, please bless our study now. Give us wisdom. Guide us with your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this section, I felt it necessary to go back to Daniel's 70-week prophecy. And keeping that in mind, we will spend this week, probably next week, and maybe we'll move on. I cannot spend as much time as I did when we went through Daniel, but I do want to at least give an overview for all of us. I needed again to kind of look at the chart and everything. It is important that we look at the 70 weeks prophecy because of several things. Turn to Daniel 9 and verse 24. Daniel 9 and verse 24. So we will be in Daniel 9 for a little while, and we will get back, obviously, into Revelation. But Daniel 9, when we studied Daniel, we dealt with the fact that really a lot of Daniel deals with the end times and Revelation. But the key things that we see in Daniel 9, it is the idea of thy people. Verse 24, Daniel 9 and verse 24, thy people. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Talking about the Jews here. And as you know, you think about the 70-week prophecy. Now you say, why does that matter? Maybe you weren't in the Daniel class. And if you weren't, you're a little behind, but I'm going to try to catch you up quickly. There is a 70-week prophecy, 70 periods of seven. All right, we'll get into that more specifically. But what we learn from this passage of Scripture and from the 70-week prophecy is that 69 of those periods of seven, 69 of those weeks, if you will, have already taken place. Those have been over with for many years, nearly 2,000 years. So those have been completed, and there is one more period of seven left. We would call that a seven-year period, all right? There's one more of those left. That is how we come up, that is where we get the tribulation, a seven-year period of time. Okay, so God said and told Daniel that there would be 70 weeks or 70 periods of seven where he would deal with the Jews, all right? He's going to deal with, it says, thy people, thy holy city, the Jews, all right? And so that is why this is essential to understand the context of the tribulation, this seven-week period, or this 1 week, as it's called in Daniel, this last period of judgment, I guess we could call it. It is exclusively, I mean, it is a judgment on God's people, the Jews. Now, obviously, the whole earth is going to be involved, and people are going to be, they're going to be caught up in this thing, and many will die, and all of that. I understand that, but understand that it's the dealing with God's people. It is the last period, if you will, the last week, the last period of seven that God has to deal with His people, His holy city, the Jews, all right? Now, again, I want to encourage you, if you take notes, you do not want to try to write on lesson 17 yet, because by the time if you do, you'll run out of room, I guarantee. So I would encourage you maybe write on the back of this. That's why I left it blank. That sounds good, but it's just blank. But it's a good idea. Again, if you take notes, some do, some don't. So we're in Daniel 9, and again, remember how this 70-week prophecy, we spent a lot of time on that, and unfortunately, we're gonna have to review it a little bit here, just to get an idea. But to me, this is so exciting, because these are key verses that give us a timetable for God's dealing with Israel. All right, this timetable tells when Messiah would be present, and that's why some had a pretty good idea when Messiah would be present. There is a timetable giving an idea of when Messiah would be cut off, what we know as the crucifixion, his death on the cross. There is a timetable giving, again, a rough idea of the destruction of Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem has been destroyed many times, but the destruction by Rome of Jerusalem. And of course, there is also a timetable that gives detail of the Great Tribulation and all of that. So very, very important that we study this thing. So in my little chart, I've written a lot of things, and we'll deal with all of those things as we come to them. But you'll notice at the very top, it says 70 weeks, okay? And that comes from verse 24, 70 weeks are determined, okay? So there are 70 weeks that God says, I'm going to deal with my people. 70 periods of 7 years, okay? So 70 weeks, we understand, okay, we think about that in terms of weeks and all that, but they think of that as 77s, all right? And so therefore, that's why we've written down 490 years, 77s, all right? So we're not looking at, and again, we spent a lot of time talking about the Hebrew and all that, and I don't have time to do all that now, but these are 70 periods of 7 years. So 70 times 7, we end up coming up with 490 years, okay? Again, he in the Hebrew, let me just say this, and then we have to move on. Weeks in the Hebrew is simply sevens, okay? So when you think of a week, you know, we're obviously thinking of 7 days. Well, when they're talking about that word weeks, it's just sevens. So there are 70 sevens that are going to take place, all right? And very, very clearly, 70 weeks, 70 sevens are determined upon thy people. Now, again, we're understanding that as a period of 490 years, all right? 70 sevens. And here's some key things that are found in this passage that are absolutely essential, okay? First of all, it's going to involve thy people, the Jews. It's going to involve thy holy city, Jerusalem. Verse 26, it talks about the sanctuary. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So the sanctuary is involved. Again, this is Jews, all right? The temple. No doubt this 490 years involves the Jews. Okay, so we want to establish that as we're studying the coming here of the Antichrist. All right. So we want to establish that this 70-week period of time, these 70 sevens, or 490 years total, that, no question about it, that involves the Jews and how God is dealing with them. Now, he goes on and he says, here's what's going to happen during that period of time. And again, don't, you know, I'm saying a lot, I'm going quickly, but it's okay. First of all, he says, here's what's going to happen. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. So within that time, here's what's going to happen. To finish the transgression. Okay, that's one thing that's going to happen. To finish the transgression. Now, at the end, or at the second coming of Christ, Israel will turn to Jesus. Okay, Scripture teaches that. Go ahead and go back to Zechariah 12. Zechariah 12. I say go back, go forward. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Again, we studied all this when we studied the book of Daniel. It says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. He was rejected. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was crucified. Prophecy says they will look upon him. He will pour upon them his grace. Chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. There is a fountain filled with blood, and they are going to turn to him, all right? And so it will finish the transgression. Then it says in verse 24, it says, and to make an end of sins, to make an end of sins. And a lot of ways to look at that. But to get right and get our lives right, and then to do right, to make an end of sins, that is going to take place. And again, as it involves the Jews, all right, to make an end of sins, could be salvation will be provided. And of course, that is going to happen too, because the third thing it says to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's when Jesus died on the cross. He made reconciliation. because we sinned against him, we became his enemy. But when he dies, when Jesus dies on the cross, we can be reconciled to God. Though we sinned against him, Jesus dying on the cross, he provided a way that we could be reconciled to the Lord. And so, again, some of these things have already taken place. You see that. Some of these things are yet to take place. But all of this takes place within this 70-week prophecy that is spoken of here within this passage of Scripture in Daniel 9. And so, reconciliation for iniquity. And then the Bible goes on and it says, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, all right? To bring in everlasting righteousness, I believe, is talking about the second coming of Christ. Now, that has not happened yet, but it will happen. It will happen in the at the end of the last week, the end of the final, the end of the tribulation. And so the second coming, and that will take place. Chapter 7 and verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant. Well, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and so on. And let's not get into that yet. We will get into that. All right. So he brings in his kingdom. And then the next thing we have, where is it? We have, and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. To seal up the vision and prophecy, everything that has been said, everything that has been prophesied, to finish it, to have the conclusion of God's judgment on the Jews, and to anoint the Most Holy, the Bible says, is setting up the millennial temple, the Holy of Holies, and all of that is still yet to come. So some of these things have been fulfilled. Some of these things have happened. But all of that, again, in the context of this prophecy, Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27, tells us about that. And so those, again, the main thing I want you to see and understand is the Jewish element that is involved, all right? Because it's very important to take this into that context. The tribulation, you know, obviously, Gentiles, non-Jews are going to die. Gentiles, non-Jews are going to be yoked up with the Antichrist and all of that. I understand all that. But this last week, this last period of seven, is definitely a judgment of God on the Jews, finishing up God's dealing with them, and again, because of sin. Let's understand, God always deals with sin. Now, again, within that 70 weeks and within that prophecy, I should say, the Lord Jesus comes, lives a perfect life, becomes the perfect sacrifice, and dies to pay for our sins. Praise the Lord. I mean, within that time. But again, the Jews, they rejected him. And the Jews, you know, remember the story of Jesus. Yes, it was the Romans that put him to death, I understand, but the Jews constantly, I mean, they're badgering the Romans. Hey, you need to kill this guy. This guy is, he needs to, the Jews rejected their Messiah. It's amazing, the Jews, as are so many, are looking for the Messiah. Still looking. Lots of groups have a Messiah. How many of you heard the term Maitreya? Anybody else hear that? That's a huge name for a Messiah. And these religions, and they have their Messiah, their King of Kings, and all of that. And the Jews, obviously, they missed it. So we have a prophecy here that is very much involving the Jews. It involves everybody on the earth, but especially the Jews. And he says then in verse 25, know, therefore, and understand. And so now he's going to give us a timeline. He's going to give us an idea. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 70 days. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now that is really an amazing prophecy. It is an amazing prophecy, and it is an important prophecy, and that's how we have our timeline here. We have our 70 weeks going the whole time. We have then 7 weeks, and I think I wrote on yours a number one above the 7 weeks, the little arc there, and then I put a number two above the 62 weeks, and then I put a little number three above the 1 week at the very end. Did I do that? Yours all? Okay, so I copied those. Very good. And gave the verses that go along with that so you can kind of follow that, and you can get an idea of at least my chart that I think describes this the best. Now, again, for us to look back on it is, it seems like we'd be able to nail everything down and get everything perfectly and all of that, but it was not as much written so we could look back as it was so the people that says know therefore and understand, they could see and get some idea of the Messiah. You know, there are books in the Bible, and of course the liberals hate the book of Daniel because of this, but there were books in the Bible that gave prophecy, and if somebody was careful and they studied, they could, again, not nail down certain dates and everything, but get some idea and get a very rough, very close idea of the Messiah. Again, a Jew that studies their Bible, can you imagine somebody that's studying the book of Daniel, studying the Old Testament, and all of a sudden they're looking at a timeline and they go and they say, wow, maybe it was Jesus. Wow. You know, he really does. I mean, the word Messiah, the Prince, that's pretty clear right there in verse 25. I mean, obviously, if you're looking for the Messiah, it seems like Daniel 9 and verse 25 would be one of the verses that you would immediately go to and look at it. And of course, if you are afraid of the Messiah because you want to do your own thing, then you would simply say, well, this isn't textually correct, and you'd criticize and you'd say Daniel didn't really exist. And, you know, anyway, so by the way, anytime we don't like something, we can usually try to dismiss it somehow. But anyway, it's very, very clear there what he's talking about. And so we have from the know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, as far as I know, and I'm not positive on this, but I think there were like four different commandments to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, everybody, you know, different commentators, different people go to different commandments and all of that. Four different decrees that were given where this could begin. Okay, and we talked about this when we did our study in the book of Daniel. But there's something that is very specific to verse 25, and it is the reason why I take the decree that I take, and that is, it says, to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And then it says this, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Of all the decrees that I could find, anyway, that were a decree to rebuild Jerusalem, there's only one decree that decrees the rebuilding of the wall. And that, of course, is found in the book of Nehemiah. So also, another key was the troublous times. If, you know, we studied the book of Nehemiah, and certainly those were very troublous times, no question about it. The building of the wall, the building, rebuilding of the whole city was in the midst of, you know, the people were building and battling the whole time. There was people on the outside trying to keep them from building the walls, people on the inside causing all kinds of trouble. And so This is the decree that I think fits the best. Look at Nehemiah 2, verse 3. And again, I realize that we've studied the book of Nehemiah as well, but that has been a little while ago. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 3. And again, the only reason we go back to this is to get a date. All right? Nehemiah 2, 3. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. The king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, for the wall of the city, for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me, and the decree is made to rebuild the city and the walls. And of course, much of Nehemiah is about the rebuilding of the wall. It is very specific. Now, there is all kinds of rebuilding going on, obviously. Everything was destroyed. But the wall being rebuilt was the first thing. It was the most important thing, because you have to have that wall surrounding the city to protect everything else that's going on inside. And that is the focus in the book of Nehemiah. The wall being rebuilt, I believe, took 50-some days to actually rebuild the walls, which is amazing if you think about that. Just took a huge amount of labor, again, with opposition from the outside, from the inside, and everything. But literally took 49 years, or 7 weeks, or seven sevens, to make the city a thriving city again. Clearing out the rubbish, the walls, the rebuilding the streets. Anyway, so we come to the decree, this decree, all right? This decree that is made, we come to 445 B.C. And there is your date. Again, decree to restore Jerusalem. Nehemiah 2, verses 3 to 8 is the reference, and that is 445 B.C. All right? Amen. And took, again, this period, 49 years, seven sevens. And that is a historical fact. That is something that we know about. All right, and so Jerusalem was restored in 396 B.C., again, to being a thriving city again. Ushers, I need you to come, because as always, we're running out of time. All right. Wow, that went fast. All right. Amen. Thank you. So, you say, okay, now wait a minute. We have 7 weeks or 49 years, seven sevens. Again, understand, and I almost put sevens in parentheses with weeks. Seven sevens. Okay, a week is 7 days, we understand. So seven sevens. And and then the Bible says that it is 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Okay, 62 is 62 weeks, all right? And so that takes us all the way to the end of that 69 weeks, all right? And again, what we're calling 69 sevens. So 69 times 7 is 483 years, okay? And that goes to whatever. Now, so a Jew who is studying this could have looked there and said, okay, here's the decree and here's the date, and they could know that something, they could anticipate something taking place around that time. 69 weeks or 69 sevens or 483 years, they could have easily studied that and they could have wondered about that anyway. All right? And so, unto, it says, verse 25, it says, unto the Messiah. So somewhere in there, the Messiah is going to come. They could have nailed that down. And by the way, some did. Some kind of had an idea. And so let's not, you know, exact days and all of that. That is, again, going to be something that we will speculate about till we get to heaven. We find out the truth. And we'll know exactly, you know, when everything took place, the exact days and all that, if we even care. Hard to say. But again, we go back to 445 B.C., and we go 7 weeks, or seven sevens, 49 years, and that period fits into what happened with Nehemiah's rebuilding of the city, or that decree for Nehemiah to start that. Nehemiah built the wall in 52 days, but to make it a thriving city again, we're dealing with 49 years, the seven sevens, and then we have another 62-week period, 62 sevens, and then it says, by the end of that time, unto the Messiah. All right, so unto the Messiah, the Prince. Okay, 7 weeks and 62 weeks, or 69 weeks, and all of this is going to happen unto the Messiah. So again, you could very easily have, I say predicted, but you could have calculated that and had a pretty close idea. I'm going to stop there because now we get into other things, but again, we've come to prophecy, we've gone back, and again, I'm just trying to get to that last week. All right, we're really not trying to redo Daniel and go over that whole thing again. But the 70th week, okay, we've had 69 periods so far. 69 that was prophesied here in Daniel 9, 24 to 27. 69 weeks or 69 sevens have already taken place. That was done. Okay, according to the scripture, at the Messiah. Something to do with the Messiah. That period of time ended. Okay, you say, well, why didn't the next period take place? That's why it's very important, because there is the mystery that was not revealed to the Old Testament prophets. And that is the church, what we would call the church age, which is what we live in today. That was not revealed to them. And so the church age, well, yeah, but the church age, why isn't that, why wasn't that mentioned? Because it has nothing to do with the Jews. Now, again, I understand Jews can get saved and we're for the Jews, amen, and all that. I'm just saying it is the church age. It is the age of people getting saved by grace through faith. It's the church age. It's the age of soul winning, the age of missions. It's the age of taking the gospel to all the nations and proclaiming that Jesus saves. It is the church age, and then the church age will end with the rapture of the church, and we'll be gone, and then that last period will take place. And I think you'll see it clearly. Now, those of us that have, you know, we've been around a long time, studied this many, many times, you know, We kind of just use terminology like, well, the 7-year tribulation, and we kind of take for granted that. But I want you to see why we think that way, why we know that is going to take place, and so it's very, very important to understand these kinds of things. But I am totally out of time, so we will stop there. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please guide us into the truth of the Scripture. Help us, Lord, to understand more and more how important it is that we get the gospel out, because I believe that that last period, that what is called the Great Tribulation, the tribulation time, I believe it is soon. And I pray, God, that we would do our very, very best to get the gospel to everyone we can. In Jesus' name I pray.